Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Hadit.com Exposing That Podcast. This is John. My co-host is Mr. Gerald. How you doing, Gerald?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, John. The weather's been pretty today, but it's fixing to change, so they say.
I heard that. Well, today is one day off from Friday the 13th. Today's Thursday the 13th. I'm glad it is, because I'm not a fan of Friday the 13th, and neither is everybody else. But we got a lineup tonight. We got two old boys down in Tennessee. It's Mr. James Cripps and Ray Cobb, and we're going to discuss, start off with the adaptive housing grant that the VA offers. And we're going to go down the line and explain what the VA does offer and money and stuff like that. Then we're going to get professional commentary from two veterans that actually use the program. So that's why I have money. How you doing, James?
Doing good. Doing good, John.
Yeah. You sound good, buddy. That's good.
Yeah,
Ray,
I'm
how
doing
you
good,
man. How's Mr. Cobb doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, doing fine. Just kind of keeping watch on this weather and making sure I stay healthy now since I don't get to go to Florida in the wintertime, so I'm going to hunker down here, I guess.
Well, at least you can use that carport to get outside and not get snow on you now, right?
That's right. I can. I don't get wet and I don't get snow on me. I'm going to have to get in one of the outdoor heaters that you see at these restaurants are put out there, though.
I've seen those. I've seen those. Well, the VA, Department of Veterans Affairs, the Veterans and Benefit Administration, or the VBA, per speak, that's to speak, has a program called the Special Adapted Housing Program. And the Special Adapted Housing Program, or they call it SAH, it offers grants to service members and veterans of certain severe, I repeat, severe service-connected disabilities. You have to be a founding member of the Boogered Up Boys of America to even think about this. The grant assists a veteran with building, remodeling, or purchasing an adapted home. Now, everybody knows what the adapted part means. You have to have a house adapted for your, you know, for your disabilities, like certain things, like doors being certain width, cabinets being certain height, stuff like that. Or if you need a wheelchair accessible home, they'll help you do that. But basically, the current grant, as this production, is $100,896. It's got to be used for the purposes of constructing or modifying a home to meet the adaptive needs. The grant maximum is adjusted annually, so I guess when we get an increase, it goes up. Now, I gave you the sugar on top of the bread, and here comes the meat. What do you have to qualify for this program? Veterans and service members with specific service-connected disabilities may be eligible. You must be entitled to disability compensation due to loss or loss of use of both legs, being unable to move around without the aid of braces, crutches, canes, or a wheelchair. Blindness in both eyes at 20/200 or less of better eye with use of a corrective lens. Loss of use of one leg and residuals of organic disease or injury. Now let's get into organic disease. It doesn't mean that you got to have a dirt disease, okay? Organic disease basically is any disease in your body that's organic, like heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, or whatever. Loss of use of one arm, affecting balance and ability to move forward without aid. Loss of use of both arms, at or above the elbows, or a severe burn injury. So, that's what it takes. Then the VA has to adjudicate loss of use in order to determine that. and they've got several factors involved to do that. One of them is if you've got neuropathy in your legs and you've got foot drop, I think they constitute that as a loss of use. But then if you got grip and claw in one of your hands, I think they call that loss of use. So your medical staff and your professionals will look at you and tell you, you know, if you've got loss of use, and you should know if you do have. Now, there's also a special adopted housing grant that can be used to increase your mobility throughout your house. The maximum for that grant is $20,215. It also adjusts annually. You qualify for that for loss of use of both hands or arms below the elbow, certain bone injuries, certain respiratory breathing injuries. Now, they've also got other issues like veterans ready for employment, independent living home adaption grant. There's all kinds of different grants like that, whichever one you qualify for. But now we've got the people on board here tonight, Mr. Cook, and we've got Ray and James, and both these veterans. Fortunately, the reason I put them on the shoulder now is because they've actually used this program. And we'll start off with Ray. Ray, when you use it, when you use your special adapted housing, what did you have to go through to do this sucker?
Well, it's a drawn-out thing. It takes time, and that's kind of the interesting part of it. I actually got a call from the VA. What they do, they notify the adaptive housing group as soon as you get a rating for the loss of use of two. And they actually called me before I got the letter in the mail that told me I had gotten the two L's. And when that happened, you know, I knew that if I got the two L's, I'd be available for it. But the gentleman that called me told me that he had just received a copy of the letter, and I had the loss of use of both lower extremities due to foot drop and caused by the diabetes, like you were saying earlier. And what that did was kind of set the wheel in motion, and first thing I had to do was think about what I needed in the home that would assist me in having a more normal life, not just a necessity, but a more normal life. And so we kind of started with that, and then the next thing is whatever you decide you need to do, it's up to you to find a contractor that will do the work and that can be approved by VA to do the work. And then you got to get little sketches or drawings or blueprints made up and submit them. And then those have to go, my understanding, they have to go to Atlanta from here, from this area, to be approved. And then once they're approved, then you get a letter, and so does the contractor, stating that the facility is available, or your facility is available to have this work done. And it kind of starts from there on how the funds are distributed. The veteran does not receive a check. He does not receive directly funds to the to yourself. What they do is they set up an escrow account with a bank. I guess they still do it. They did, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when I got it. And you have to go and set the account up, and you have to have the contractor on that escrow account with you. And then once they deposit, once the job's been completed and you approve it, then they you go out and he can withdraw his portion of the funds, and you kind of go from there. Or if you own your home, they can, if you owe money on your home, they can actually get it fixed to where it is. If there's any left over, they can apply it to your mortgage to reduce the amount that you owe on your home. So that's kind of a good thing that they can do. But
that's
the beginning
deal right
that I had to go through.
That's a good deal. That's a good deal. Did you have any problems, Ray?
Well, the biggest problem was time it takes. you know, it's like they don't hurry up for anything. They would give us 30 days to do something, but then they'd take 2 or 3 months to notify you that it's either okay or you need to change this or whatever. The only problem I had was with the sketches that I dealt with. And I guess it was partially my fault not understanding what they needed. Along with the gentleman that I got to do the sketching. It started out, and I thought it was going to be $600, and it ended up costing me $1,400 because of the way that the gentleman in charge of the program wanted to see a part of the structure added on to my home. And this is, like I was saying earlier, this has to do with your ability to maintain your normal life. For example, I used to spend a lot of time outdoors. You know, I still love the outdoors. But because of some of the medications I take and things, I can't be out in the sunshine. So they actually built me a 14 by 16 foot screened-in covered deck on the back with a ramp exiting for two reasons. One, that particular part of the house, if there had been a fire in the middle of the house or on the other end, I would not be able to get out of it. And number two was that I could still stay outside and get fresh air and things and be able to exit the house in case there was a fire. So there was two reasons they did that. They suggested it. That wasn't anything I thought of. That's just kind of what they came up with. And I thought, well, if you're going to do it, let's do it right. So... they were going to first start out and go to make it, I think it was an 8 by 10. And I said, well, no, if we're going to do it, I want to be able to sit out there and have furniture. And so we ended up, and they approved a 14 by 16.
That's a pretty good-sized deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Really good. But I'm glad you've had that for years now, right?
I've had about 4 years.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, but you had no issues, just the timing aspect of the VA, because they drove the pump truck to get the paperwork done. Is that right?
Right. Well, basically, from the time I found out that I was entitled to the housing grant till everything was completed was 18 months. So, it took a year and a half to get, and you also got to go through your local government, get any building permits or anything like that, and it depends on where you live. I know in our case, you know, I had to wait, I think it was 60 days to get on the docket to get an exception to have that built in my neighborhood on the back of the house. I could have had it built in the middle of the house, but that wouldn't have helped. So to get it on the end of the house closer to the easement line,
damn,
I had to actually take 60 days, go before board, which took every bit of 3 minutes. I mean, you know, once I got on the docket,
mm-hmm.
they put me first on the docket. I rolled
mm-hmm.
in on my scooter. They asked why they were doing it. I told them exactly why, like I stated a moment ago. And they all looked at each other and said, does anybody have any problems? And nobody said anything. They said, okay, it's passed. You will have your building permit tomorrow morning. So it was,
mm-hmm.
you know, the meeting started at 6, and I had it at 9 o'clock the next morning.
That took that long. Okay, well, I'm glad to work in your favor because, you know, these building codes, easements, setbacks, you know, I mean, I guess it depends on your subdivision, neighborhood you're in. Of course, they've got some crazy code, you know, 6-foot build lines to the property line and all kind of crap. Offset your house has got to be 40 feet off the highway, you know, things like that, and you got to live with it. So I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah,
for
in our case, we live in a subdivision, and we live in the county. And the county had changed the rule from the time the house was built, and any additional whatever had to be 10 foot off the off of the line, property line, and mine was 9 foot and 6 inches. So I had to go and get a 6-inch approval, you know, so that I could build it within 6 inches of their 10 foot that they were asking for.
they don't grandfather it in, they change the rules, that you'd be subject to the rules previously because of that. That's the way it usually works in legal matters. I mean, okay. Well, I'm glad it worked out.
They didn't grandfather us in on that like they should have, but they said there would be no grandfather exception if it's attached to the house. Now, if I could have figured out a way to build it freestanding without attaching to the house like I did the carport, then I would have been fine. I can do that within 6 foot.
I understand. Well, you could have. I mean, you could have actually put it up there and put your post down and had it about an inch off the house, not attached to the house.
Exactly what I did with that carport. I put it 2 inches off the edge of the house under a 12-inch overhang. And so, therefore, you know, water falls down on the roof of the carport anyway. And so, therefore, I stay dry in that area.
Well, that's good. Okay. Well, James, how about your story, buddy? Did you have any issues with it? What you have done?
Well, I knew I should have went first. How am I going to beat that? yeah, I had a little bit of problems when I got mine. I had never known anybody that had the special adaptive housing. And I applied for it. And they sent two specially adaptive housing agents out here. You know, in just what I had read about the program in the first 5 minutes, I figured out they didn't know what they were talking about. I had to have a drawing, and that cost $1,000, which was supposed to have been returned on the back end and subtracted from the funds. Well, that didn't happen. But just getting this thing in gear to proceed, gosh, it took me a year. And finally, we got a new adaptive housing agent, and I got to say, he's one of the best. And that's what this thing, the whole thing comes down to, how smooth your job goes, and actually what you... You know, can have, they allow certain things, they disallow certain things, but there are some gray areas. You got to have a good agent to work with. The one that Ray and I both have, he was a contractor at one time, so he knows the contractor business. But anyway, I decided what, like Ray said, what would it take to make my life better, considering I knew things were going to get worse. And you have to have, they require that you do the basics as far as adaptive home before you can have what you actually want. You have to get what you need, and if you've got some doorways that need widening, you know, that's one of the first things that you got to do. They look at your exits. You've got to have good exits on both sides of the house. Like Ray said, in case of a fire, you got to be able to go either way. Considering your disabilities, you know, if it be it with crutches or wheelchair, scooter. You got to be able to, you got to be able to get out of the burning house
quickly.
So once you take care of the basics, then you can start looking at things that you would like to have. My wife was doing the laundry in what you might call a closet, and because of my disabilities, we had a whole lot more laundry. I had to have special zippers put in my pants to get to my braces, and it's a whole new ball game. Bed clothes have to be done more. My clothes have to be done more. So we built a huge laundry room. It's a dedicated laundry room. It's 14 by 16.
It's big.
And then I wanted a huge bathroom. It has to meet their standards with the floors and the non-skid in the shower. And I wanted something exceptional. My shower is 6 feet deep and about 10 or 11 feet long. Has two shower heads in it, has a built-in bench. It's all tile, floor to ceiling.
You get lost in there.
Yeah. When I talked to the contractor, I said, this job is going to be built around that shower. If the shower ain't right, ain't nothing right. And they had some professional people come in and do the shower floor. I didn't want anything bought and brought in. I wanted it built in place. In other words, the shower has an actual concrete floor and it's tiled.
Mm-hmm.
It's
now, is it,
none of this plastic or fiberglass stuff. You can roll a wheelchair in it. I didn't hear you, John.
That's what I asked. If it's the entry.
You can roll a wheelchair into it. The commode sits higher than a standard.
Mm-hmm.
We had new carpet put in throughout the house because they require a certain carpet without padding that a wheelchair can roll on. We didn't do anything in the kitchen because I don't cook. I'm not allowed in the kitchen. Too many accidents. But I'm going to say this took probably 2.5 years from beginning to end.
Okay.
But then when I got into the program and Ray got into the program, we could use that program 3 times, I think.
Okay, that's a good point.
But then a couple of years ago, they increased it to 6.
Okay.
And every year, we'll get more money into that account. The first go-round, I used all of my money. Not only that, I combined it with the HISA grant. HISA grant, $6,000, $6,800.
Has it increased?
So
No,
I think HISA grant last I saw was still $6,800.
That's
but
right.
But the housing grant, I think I had $8,600 in my housing grant plus the HISA grant on top of that, which I elected to use them both together, and you can do that. But I used all of mine. It took all of it to complete the job. But then every year you get more into the account. The first year we got $4,000, I think, after my job was completed. And next year we got a big bump, $10,000. And I hadn't used but one. And then the next year we got a pretty good little bump. And I ended up in the hospital with Fournier's gangrene and just all kinds of medical problems. Had to have a hospital bed. And I got to thinking, you know, the electricity goes out, I can't even get out of my recliner. It's electric. My hospital bed is electric. I can't charge my scooter. I can't charge my wheelchair. I can't keep my insulin cold. The heart station loses contact with my defibrillator. There's just all kind of things, you know, that without electricity just don't work. So I elected to use what I had in there for a Generac, something that would come on automatically and power the whole house. And it took about a year to get that system in. Like Ray says, they don't move fast. But once installed, I don't worry about, you know, we're on a well here, and when we lose power, we don't even have water. so I don't have to worry about that anymore. I had a 8,500-watt generator, but you've got to go, you know, when the power goes out, you've got to get downstairs, which is hard for me to do anymore. And then you've got to connect the generator into the box and start the generator, and you know, it's just something. I had my son-in-law coming up and doing that, but now I don't have to worry about it with the Generac. One other thing, you got to have a loss of more than one extremity if you're a Vietnam veteran, or like you say, one extremity in combination with an organ loss. I can qualify that too with my heart disease.
Your heart disease, your diabetes.
Blindness.
Yeah,
blindness comes into it. But loss of use of two extremities got the grant for me without question. But comes along the post 9/11 veterans, they only have to have loss of use of one limb, not two. But then that's limited to 120 of those type grants per year. And if you apply and the quota has been met of 120, and then you just apply next year and try to get on next year's quota.
But you keep swinging until you make contact, right?
Yeah, you don't quit. You go over or under, over, under, around, or through to get where you got to be. But
now that,
I can tell you now, go ahead.
Does that 120 count for the pre 9/11 vets, or is that just post 9/11 vets?
Just post 9/11 veterans that are claiming for one limb lost. Now, if they're claiming, if they've got two losses of limbs or the other qualifying factors, I would imagine they wouldn't be under the 120 limit. But they're only allowing loss of one limb, 120 veterans a year. And that's what it takes to get the automobile grant, loss of one limb.
We'll dig into that in a few minutes. Now, do you think that's fair?
John, the VA has always tried to drive a wedge between errors of veterans.
Errors, yeah. Yep, not errors.
So we
errors.
Can't come together as one. It kind of keeps us from coming together as one. It separates us into groups. Just like the education benefits, you know, post 9/11. Yeah, you can give those benefits to your spouse or to your children. We didn't have anything like that. It, like I say, it separates groups of veterans. You know, why is a post 9/11 veterans one arm or one foot worth two of mine? Yeah, I haven't figured that out. Justified.
Hey, military the same, war's the same. They didn't change, you know, they didn't change anything. Only thing they changed between World War II and 9/11 was the rules of engagement. That's the only thing it changed.
Yeah, and this 120 veteran limit doesn't make any difference how many troops you got in Iraq or Afghanistan. Or if they double the troops, the quota stays the same, 120.
Yeah.
Gosh, what was in the legislator's mind when they legislated? How did they come up with that? How can you justify that? What about the 121st guy? You know, I don't understand that. I can tell you, I'm thankful that I qualified for the grant. I can also tell you, if you don't qualify for the grant, that's not a bad thing. I wouldn't mind living in a cardboard box if I could regain all of my disabilities that, you know, this is, it's cost me to qualify for these grants.
I agree with you 100%. I'd give all mine back, you know, if I could bunk.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
I'm losing money.
Yeah. But if it's available and you need it, it's a wonderful thing.
Well, James, if we could give it up and we were back healthy again, me and you just take off and go fishing. We bring Ray along. He take pictures of the fish we catch.
There you go.
That's right.
I can do that.
I can ride the boat.
Gerald
can drive the boat.
No.
Well, you know, Ray and I are both R1. A lot of people think to get the Special Adaptive Housing Grant, you have to go as far as being R1, and that's not right. Special Adaptive Housing Grant requirements are a whole lot less than getting the O and going for the R1. Different set of qualifications there.
Well, if you got paid to do this,
how Special Adaptive Housing. Special Adaptive Housing works if you want to build a new house,
mm-hmm.
or if you want to remain in your existing home, so long as it can be brought up to their specifications.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to own that home.
Yeah. Or you can buy an adaptive house, right?
You can buy a fully adaptive house, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Several ways you can go on it, and there's a SHA grant.
It's a SHA grant. Yeah, that's what, $20,000 or something like that, $20,000.
Yeah, if you needed to move in with your sister-in-law or you're back in home with your parents,
mm-hmm.
you could use that money to fix up their home to accommodate your disabilities.
Right.
And, you know, there's nothing that says that I can't fix up my daughter's home to accommodate me, and then 3 years later I decide I want to get a Special Adaptive Housing Grant for my own home and move out and move in my own home once it's adapted. So that would be a possibility of using them both. You know, the intent has a lot to do with it. If you intended to stay with your daughter or your parents and it didn't work out, then later on you could look at buying you a house or fixing up your home.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's at least the options out there available for veterans to use, you know. I mean, it's
a lot of it's got to do with your specially adaptive housing agent. I can't stress enough, you know, how important a good agent is. And there's good mm-hmm. ones and there's bad ones.
Yes,
I've dealt with both of them.
Okay.
Well, yeah, for example, when James got started on his agent wasn't very helpful at all, and then this new agent came in, and that's the only one I had to deal with, and right there's the difference, the length of time it took me to get my project completed versus the time it took James's to be completed. You know, it all had to do with the agent following up and tracking it, and I know he made several phone calls on my behalf to Atlanta to say, where is it, who's approved it, when's it signed off on, because he would notify me. He'd send me an email. He said, I checked with Atlanta today, just wanted to let you know that they haven't signed off on it yet. And then one day I get that, just wanted to let you know it got signed off on today, and I'll probably have it in hand and can do something with it in 3 days. You know, that type of thing. So he, you know, James is right. We're fortunate to have an excellent agent that represents us or works with us. And I'm not for sure, you know, how the others would be. But, you know.
Well, I mean, it pays any veteran anytime you're in a situation like this to stay on top of it. I mean, you know, you have to. Because, you know, as I always say, the VA has a lot of cracks. And some of them cracks are big enough to swallow an entire wheelchair. So, you know, you got to stay on top of them because things do happen. People do make mistakes. You know, some of it's mistakes and some of it's by design, but, you know, that's how it is. And I'm glad it worked out for you guys in that situation. You know, if I'm ever situated where I need something like that, you know, later on down the road, at least I can give me some idea of what to look, you know, look forward to. And so basically our take on this is you guys used it and it was successful. You got what you needed. James went back and used his again, I guess, and I guess he put his generator in, and that's working pretty good. Have you had your power went out since you had it put in, James?
It has, and in about 5 seconds it takes over.
It takes over, and there's no problem with the amount of power delivered, the size, and like that, you're okay?
No, and it comes on every Monday at 11 o'clock. It was noon, but it didn't know time changed.
Okay.
Comes on and runs through self-checks and takes over the power for 5 minutes, and then it shuts mm-hmm. back down and returns power to the line.
Okay.
That keeps it operational. I've had no problems with it whatsoever.
Okay, now yours is set up under, is it liquid propane? Is that how you use yours?
Yes, I already had a 500-gallon tank. And I'm considering... and I've talked to the special debt housing agent about it, going to 1,000-gallon. And I think the way to best accomplish that, considering the price of the tanks, is to buy a second 500-gallon and just tie them together. Because the 1,000-gallon tank is just outrageous.
Here's the million-dollar question. Who's buying the fuel?
I do. But I would imagine I could use specially adaptive housing money to fill my tank.
Just look at the parameters.
Not sure of that, but I would imagine.
I know
the agent told me there would be no problem in buying a second tank or even a 1,000-gallon tank. But this year we only got a $400 bump.
Yep.
So you can't do a whole lot. $400, you know.
Hey, $400 is a lot better than zero.
Well, I will tell you it costs $20,000 to put this generator in.
Yeah. What size did you get? 22,000?
It's 22 kV.
22
for 22 and 24. But
yeah.
22 would run everything that I needed.
And on
that $20,000, I do need to say that I bought the, and VA paid for, the 10-year maintenance agreement and the extended warranty.
You need it.
The only thing I'm responsible for in the next 10 years is if a battery goes bad on it, and it's a car battery.
Okay. Now, is it loud?
Is it loud?
Yeah.
I can barely hear it come on, and I sleep within 20 feet of it.
Okay. Now, they got some type of muffling system on it to keep it quiet, or is it just a...
Yes.
Okay.
If your next-door neighbor was cutting his grass in the summertime and your house was closed up, that's about what you would hear.
Okay. So just the humming noise.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah,
that.
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing obnoxious.
Nothing obnoxious.
But I did that. If something happens to me, you know, my wife won't have to worry about the generator for 10 years.
Good deal. Listen, we got a call from West Virginia. Let's bring him in and see if he's got any questions for us there. So we can get a hold of him. West Virginia, have you got a question, or are you just listening to the show?
Well, I normally have a question, but I just just now remembered.
Usually you do, man.
I just now remembered about the show, and I said, well, I'll catch the end of it. But, no, I just got on, so I don't know what's been said, so I'm blank right now.
We're just discussing the adaptive housing, grant, and we went over the criteria and the qualifications, and these two guests have both used it, so we want to get their, their expertise on, there's nothing better than having somebody that's actually used the program in order to come and explain to other veterans. And we're fixing to talk about the automobile grant. That's coming up here in the next couple of seconds. So thanks for calling in, buddy, and just hang on with us, and hopefully we give you some good information.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Guys, that leads us into
one thing that they do with the adaptive housing grant, which is kind of unusual. In my case, I have a garage, a double car garage that I changed into a man cave before I lost the use of both feet. They came in and built a 6x6 platform coming out of my kitchen door into the garage area. And then they put me a vertical platform lift so I can ride my scooter up and down between the two levels. And James and I have got a friend who goes to Michigan and here back and forth between the two. He used his on his main home, as he calls it, up in Michigan. And they put him in an elevator that goes from the basement all the way up to the second floor with stops in between. And they put in an elevator so he can, ride his wheelchair or his scooter onto that elevator and go up to the next floor.
I've seen that. I've seen a couple guys have that before. It's very rare that they did do it, but they did. And, some of these folks up in these bigger cities, they got these row houses, and they're 4 and 5 stories tall, So, they're small lot houses, and they can't build out. They got to build up.
Yeah.
And I've seen some people that even got relaxing decks on the roof, So an elevator's a good thing. But hope we never need one. I want to stay in a single-story house. I don't like stairs anyways. And Gerald, he loves stairs, but he just looks at them all day.
Well, no stairs. Better be an elevator.
Yeah, well, we had Teresa on last week, and they put her a stair lift in, so that helps her. So at least they're helping. But let's go ahead and switch gears and get in the automobile and special adaptive equipment grants for automobiles. And the first question is, can a veteran receive financial assistance from VA to purchase an automobile? Answer is yes. A veteran service member with certain disabilities can receive a grant to purchase a new or used vehicle. But then again, you go with your disability. These disabilities must be a result of an injury or disease acquired or worsened during active military service. The grant may be paid if disabilities are a result of the following provided by the VA: medical treatment, examination, voc rehab, or constipated work therapy. So I guess you're in voc rehab and need a car to get to school, they'll get you a car. It's paid directly to the seller for a total price up to $20,577.18 of the sticker price or the price of the vehicle. Now, a veteran or service member may only receive this automobile grant once in his lifetime or her lifetime. A veteran must have one of the following disabilities to qualify for the grant. The loss, permanent loss of use of one or both feet. Loss or permanent loss of use of one or both hands. Permanent vision impairment in both eyes to a certain degree. They know that this form doesn't tell you what the degree is. I guess it gets to a certain degree, you ain't going to be driving, so you better get somebody else to drive.
If you're blind, you can still get the grant if you're blind. You just can't get the adaptive equipment.
Right. That's fine. So that would put the Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder driving school back in business.
Exactly. If you're blind, they figure you're going to hire a driver. so they won't furnish adaptive equipment because your driver shouldn't need it.
Well, they should pay for the driver then. I'm just kidding. Now, burn injuries work and Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. Of course, you get diagnosed with ALS, you're not going to use a grant too long because that disease will get you in a matter of years. You're lucky if you live 6 years with that sucker.
But you can put your wife in good shape.
That's right. I'm telling you, that's true. Now, does the VA pay to adapt the vehicle? Yes. They pay for the following equipment, but not limited. Power steering, power windows, power seats, special equipment needed to assist the recipient into and out of the vehicle, like, I guess, lifts and ramps and stuff like that. You need to call your VA Medical Center's prosthetics department before purchasing any equipment. They got before in big bold letters, so you guess you better do it. The adaptive equipment grant may be paid for more than once. It can be paid to the seller or the veteran. So I guess you can use the adaptive grant more than one time, but the vehicle allowance automobile grant, you only use it once. Is that what you guys take
for? Twice every 4 years on adaptive equipment.
Okay. Now, you apply for it with the forms. You got to do the form 21-4502, get it filled out. Submit the form to the intake center in Janesville, Wisconsin, and they'll get back to you. Or you can fax it or mail it or upload it. The person will determine the eligibility, and then if you're eligible, they'll fill it out in Section 2, return it to you. You got to read the instruction list when you get it and see what you get. You purchase a vehicle. You receive the vehicle and that equipment from the facility, fill out Section 3. Submit the form and invoices, and they'll pay the dealer for the vehicle minus what you pay. Because right now, I tell you something, folks. If you take this money out here and you buy you a $20,000, $577 vehicle, you're not going to get much anymore. Because vehicles are sky high, especially right now. Hopefully they'll come down in the future. But that being said, we'll switch up on this. And James, I know you've used this grant. How'd that work? I guess you bought an SUV. How'd that work for you?
It paid half of the price of my Explorer. I think the Explorer was about $42,000, $43,000. So it paid half, and I paid the other half. I didn't need any adaptive equipment to be able to drive it. All I asked VA to do was put, I got it with a trailer towing package. And I got them to mount the scooter on the back. But once you buy the vehicle, then you go back to prosthetics. And they look up your disabilities. In other words, if you've got heart disease, you need air conditioning in order to survive in that vehicle. So they pay the cost of your air conditioning. If you need power windows, because of your disability, they pay the cost of those power windows. They go through the invoice and back all of these charges out. Power steering, if you have a problem with your arms, you need the power steering.
Now, that's good to look at the invoice, but they have to have a more of a breakdown of that, because most of the time air conditioning, power steering is standard equipment, and it's not listed on the invoice as just part of the actual cost of the vehicle. The only thing, price difference, the options, so how do they break that down?
VA has their price list. Air conditioning is worth so much. Power steering is worth so much. A power lift gate is worth so much. And if they compare your disabilities, which determine your needs for this stuff.
Right.
In other words, if you don't have heart disease or breathing disorder, they're not going to pay for your air conditioning. If you've got heart disease and you want it, they'll put you a mobile phone in there in case you ever break down. You'll have a way to contact somebody. So the money that's returned for you after the sale and everything is done depends on your particular disabilities and
right. Now,
those standard items that you would qualify for.
Did they pay you directly since you've already bought the vehicle?
They pay you directly. You get a check in the mail.
Okay, so you can put it at the bank or pay it on the vehicle, right?
You can do either one, yes.
Okay.
Right.
Now, take for example, now, I know Chevrolet, most of their vehicles offer, they've got a built-in telephone. Of course, you can try to put it with your cell phone if you've got the right contract, but a lot of people don't have that, but you got to pay a monthly fee for that phone. And they can run into some money after a while. I know I had like 30 days on my truck, and I just let it go because, you know, you've got a cell phone, you don't need it. So, okay. Okay, so, but you haven't had an issue with that. How many times have you allowed to use the same case?
Twice every 4 years. I bought an Expedition. I bought an Explorer for me, and I bought a Honda for my wife, and I got adaptive
Honda
equipment on both of them. Then later on, CRV. Later on, I gave that car to my daughter, and I bought my wife a Ford Edge, and I applied and got adaptive equipment on that vehicle also. You can operate two vehicles and get adaptive equipment twice every 4 years.
Now, the question for you is, now, are you a member of the DAV?
Yeah.
So did you use the X plan when you bought these vehicles?
No, I can use the Ford's Z plan. It was for employees only. And at the time, my brother-in-law was still living. He retired from Ford, so I could use his
right.
Z plan. But if
that's
you're a member of the DAV, that takes off another $500. I just couldn't use both those discounts together.
I understand. Okay. Well, Ray, how did your situation work out? What did you do and what did you buy?
Well, the first vehicle I bought was a Ford truck, 150.
Ooh.
They put a lift to the back of the truck so I could lift my scooter up either off the curb or from behind and put it into the back. Then
okay.
I traded it in for a Chevrolet custom van for traveling. Well,
okay.
they wanted to put a lift on the back of it first I traded a Jeep in, my older Jeep in for a new Jeep. I have a Jeep Cherokee now, and so they put a lift on the back of the Jeep Cherokee. And then I traded
right.
my truck in for this custom van. Now, they wanted to put me a lift that went into the back of the van. You open the back doors, and it comes out and lifts you in and out. However, by doing that, I would have lost the use of the back seat. I had to take it out. I didn't want to do that because if we travel, that's in camp, that's going to be our bed. So they would not authorize one of these kind of a platform lift that you let down the ramp
side.
And then roll your scooter up on it. They will not authorize those. So, but, you know, I got one, I think, for less than $500 and got it installed. And then they called me again and wanted me to, they didn't like that, and they wanted me to use, you know, to put a lift on the back. And I said, no, I can't open the back doors if I do that. And so they, you know, said, well, no, you can't, but let us know if you change your mind and we'll put it on. So right now I'm going with the drive-up lift because we don't drive that van every day. We only drive it when we're traveling. And that's the way we're going to travel with the scooter on the back. And we took a 3,000-mile road trip this past summer. And it was great.
I think I talked to you, and you said, looking, I think he's on top of Mount Rushmore scratching his president's nose, wouldn't you?
Well, we were. That's exactly one of the places we went. We went to the Badlands and then down to Yellowstone and then on into the Rocky Mountain National Park. But, you know, it's really, it's really comfortable driving. And you know, we both like to travel a lot. And so that's exactly what we're going to use it for.
Yeah.
But they did offer me, you know, that. And the other thing about it, like, I've got a ramp and sitting in the back now, electrical type of ramp that fits into any class 3. Any vehicle can carry a class 3 hitch. This ramp will fit on it. And it was one I had when I first got it back in about 2017 or 18. And the VA just leaves that with you. They don't want it back.
Sell it.
So well, I'm either going to sell it or I'm going to look for a veteran that needs it that can't qualify. And
there's a lot of them out there, buddy.
Yeah, there is. And that's what I'm for sure. Now, I could also install it on the back of my van if I decide I want one. And I can just install it. And the only problem is you can't take it on and off. This ramp and platform I have now, you know, I can take it on and off. It fits on just like a boat trailer. And, you know, you pull your little car key out or lock out and pull it out the back, set it down. Yeah, you know, it weighs 82 pounds. So it's not, you know, all that heavy. It's made out of aluminum.
Well, that's good, man. Well, at least, you know, you guys, you've used it. And, you know, you have to qualify for it. I know Gerald bought a van here a couple of years ago. It's a GMC. It's a pretty nice van. It's got both doors on the side slide open. It's got a lift that goes into it. I know he's had a problem with the hydraulic fluid. He's having to refill it. But, Gerald, how's your van doing?
Well, it's doing really well. I like it. It has doors on both sides. It makes it really convenient. And it's a power lift, so I just roll up on it and wheel myself in. Works good.
Well, that's true. Well, I don't have to worry about stuff like that. Of course, I'm not as lucky as I used to be. I've got, you know, there are things that are catching up with me, but when we travel and stuff, you know, and pull the big campers and stuff like that, I have to have a 3/4 ton or a 1 ton truck. So that's basically what I do. And, you know, of course, we've got smaller SUVs, but one of these days I might have to use it. So at least I know, you know, I know other people have done it. So I kind of know what to do. And I appreciate you guys for coming on and showing us a lot there and how to use this stuff, because a lot of veterans are kind of skeptical about it, you know, because they're like, well, the VA offers it. They haven't seen many people get it. So maybe this will help them out if they've got a loss of use, you know, if you got a couple of extremities, arm with leg or 2 feet, you know, if you got foot drop or you got neurological spinal cord injuries, something like that, you have to have it. And
there's only one other thing I'd like to point out, John, that I ran into. In the automobile grant, you really need to check and make sure that your local car dealer or whoever you're trying to get your vehicle from will work with the VA. Right here in Winchester, where I live, none of them were willing to work with the VA. And James sent me up to the guy that sold him his, and I went up there and actually, you know, purchased it up there because they knew what they were doing and they knew how it worked, and I had no problem at all.
Would you tell the dealers, well, thank you very much, and you show them the deal, and they lost the sale because of that?
Well, I drove it back out and showed the guy, that the salesman, that thought he had a sale. I drove the very type of a truck that I was looking at with him that was still sitting on their lot, and I said, you know, you could have sold that one out there if y'all had worked with me.
Well, the automobile industry, but to the lot dealers and things like that,
if you can pay attention, if you talk to a salesman today and you go back in 2 weeks, there's a 40 to 50% chance that person won't be there. They've got the highest amount of turnover of any profession in the country.
Yeah.
And
when you pull into a dealership and you tell the guy, I want that truck over there, and I'm not going to pay you a dime on it today, but don't worry about it. VA's going to pay you in a couple of weeks. Not mm-hmm. everybody's going to let you drive out with that vehicle, but we found a dealer that will, and that's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, play. You got to play the game with them and take it to people. Well, that don't, show it to them. Go back and show them the vehicle and show them what you did and say you lost. Anyhow, yeah, I got
exactly.
a great time. I don't play no games with them anyway. We're out of time. Heck of a show. I do appreciate you guys. You guys are always well for information. But at least I'm glad to have the opportunity to pick your brains. You know, I've learned a lot, and I know Gerald has learned a lot. I know the listeners have learned a lot. So we do appreciate you. We'll get back on again here, and we'll talk about something totally different that's related to all of this. And ma'am, do a fishing show one day, Jane, and tell people how to fish Kentucky Lake. We'll do that.
That's right. We'll have a liar's convention.
That's right. We will. We will now. I tell you. All righty. Well, appreciate you guys coming on, Gerald. Thanks for co-hosting, buddy. I hope you stay awake to learn.
Glad to be here. Enjoy
Alrighty.
The show.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and shut her down, guys. We stopped recording a couple minutes ago, so we thank you all very much, and we'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Appreciate it, John.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Exposed Red Podcast. All opinions expressed on the show are the opinions of the guest speakers and not necessarily the opinions of Exposed Vet, Haddit.com, or Blog Talk Radio. To leave a comment, send an email to exposedvet@gmail.com. Just put podcast in the subject matter. Tune in next week for another edition of the Exposed Vet Podcast. Thanks for listening.